And Brother Cleo is going to come here in just a moment, and he's going to read Haggai chapter 1 for us. And that is one of those little books at the end of the Old Testament. So if you go to Matthew and Matthew chapter 1 and you go back about three books, you'll find it. And it's a very short book of the Bible, and at the end there, kind of actually probably about in the middle, but a little bit difficult to find. And Brother Cleo is going to read the whole chapter one for us. And and again, glad that you're all here today. And let me see, did the okay, it got quiet, so the young people, yeah, they did head down. All right, and so Brother Cleo, why don't you come and read for us?
Right, we get one chance at this morning. Good morning, beloved. Good morning. All right. Haggai, chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up into the mountains, and bring wood, and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow up on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king.
Here in the book of Haggai, the prophet Haggai, he was alarmed and caused the because the people failed to consider their ways. So the prophet here, he cried out. And this morning, I want to talk on. I want to spend a little bit of time here talking about folks in the Bible who failed to consider their ways. And again, as we've talked about, how do we get to where we are many times in our own personal and private lives is because we fail to consider where we are. We fail to consider the consequences and of our actions. And this is what was going on here in verse number 7. It says, And thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that you would help me as I deliver the message that you have for your people today. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to stand before them, Lord, as their pastor. Lord, to encourage them to live right and do right. And Father, I just pray, Lord, as we look at some folks that in the Word of God that didn't consider their ways. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to learn from it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to look at where we're at, where we're going, and how we'll get there and what will happen when we're there. And Lord, I just pray for your will to be done in our service today. And Lord, if there be anybody among us that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day they would accept you. Lord, I pray that they'd confess their sin and accept you as their Savior. And Father, I pray for the needs that are represented here today. And Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen and do your work. In your name we pray. Amen. As we look here this morning, I would like us to look at some people in the Bible who failed to consider their ways. And failed to kind of look and see where they were at. And the first one that we're going to get to here this morning is a very familiar story in the Bible, and we all know it well. Is the account of Lot. Lot was a man who failed to consider the shame of Sodom. And, you know, as again, as I begin to look over this and I begin to think about it and I begin to wonder, you know, Lot and in his life and where he came from, who he traveled with and where he wound up. What we realize is Lot, he was Abraham's brother, or I'm sorry, Abraham's nephew. And he left with Abraham. He went with Abraham to many places. He wound up being a very wealthy and rich man, in the fact that Abraham's sheep herdsmen were fighting with Lot's herdsmen, and they come to the point where they had to part ways. And I really would that they would have found maybe a different way to part ways, or but they decided and they would part ways, and Abraham told Lot, you look to the east, you look to the west, and you look to the south and north, and where if you go one side, I'll go the other. And Lot, as he looked, there were some things that he considered. He considered the well-watered plains. He looked and he saw the lands that would enrich him. He saw the lands that would be best suited for his cattle, and the opportunity that he would have to nourish them and to prosper in that way. But you know, there was one thing that Lot failed to consider in the direction that he was going, and that was the city of Sodom and the city of Gomorrah. The Bible tells us here that that Lot, as he looked, the Bible says that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. And Sodom in those days had the reputation of why God destroyed it. And took it away. But Lot, as he looked at things, and in Genesis 12 and or Genesis 13 and verse number 12, it says that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. You know what Lot didn't consider is how that where he located his tent in the direction that he put his tent in to the things that he could see, how that would affect his life, how that would affect the life of his wife, how that would affect the life of his children, and what it would cost him in the end. And you know, as I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking about Lot, many times today, we do the same thing. When we consider where we're going to pitch our tent, when we consider what we're going to do in our life, and when we consider how things are going to turn out, what we do as we look to the obvious wealth. We look to the we look to the world. We look at things that have bad testimony. And what we do is we don't start out there, as Lot didn't start out there, but Lot, the Bible says, pitched his tent toward Sodom. He pitched his tent to where he could see into the world. He pitched his tent where he was exposed to the things of the world, and where he could see what was going on there. And again, when we do that in our lives, brothers and sisters, what that does is that opens us up to temptation. Whenever we point our direction, when we point our sights on things of the world, what happens is we see that over and over again. And again, what we've got to understand, it's the same ammo that and in the same direction the devil has always used, even from the very beginning. When the devil went into the garden, first thing he did with Eve is he began to talk to Eve, and he began to question God's word. You know, when you set your house looking to the world, you know what that causes you to do? That causes you to question God's word. And the devil looked at Eve, and he said, he told God, hath God said? He questioned what God said, and what God said: in the day that you eat of that fruit, thou shalt surely die. But what the devil did is he caused Eve to have some doubt on if God was really serious about what he said he would do if they ate of that tree. You know what happens when we pitch our tent to the world, when we look to the things of the world, and we stay involved in the things of the world? What happens is that begins us to question, that causes us to question what God's word says. Folks, sin is sin. The things that were sin from the beginning are the things that are sin today. If it was sin yesterday, it's sin today. And folks, if you have to question in your mind, if you've got to ask, is this right or is it wrong? Well, I would have you a look at the and err on the side of caution and not do it. Because my dad always told me growing up, if you've got to wonder if it's right or wrong, it's most likely wrong. And so Lot, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Well, eventually, as the devil works, and as Sodom looked day after day over those plains, and he looked over all of the things that was going on in Sodom, and I guarantee you, the music was probably loud. I guarantee you, the shouts and the hollers, and it sound very interesting. So it wasn't very long, and what happened is Lot expanded that, and the Bible says that Lot, in Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 1, he sat in the gate. You see, he pitched his tent, but then he found himself sitting at the gate with the wise and respected men. He found himself sitting in the presence of people that he had no business being with. You know, when we pitch our tents towards Sodom, when we pitch our tents towards the world, it won't be long, and I promise you where you'll wind up is you'll wind up sitting there at the gates of the world. Because again, the devil makes sin enticing. He makes it look really good. What advertisement of alcohol do you see where you see a bum laying in the gutter and have desecrated all over himself and robbing his family of the things that they need? And no, they don't show you that. What they show you is they show you this successful businessman that has everything in the world. And just because he picked up that drink and because he uses that brand or he uses that to help him relax in the evening, that his life goes better. You know, the devil is a liar. Amen. And the devil's a deceiver. And it wasn't long that Lot found himself sitting in the gates and sitting down with the world. You know, Christian, if you keep your face towards the world, it won't be long and you'll be sitting with the world. You know, and I don't think Lot's intentions probably were bad at this time. I don't really think he probably even understood how bad it was going to turn out and how bad it was going to get. And you know, there may have been some spiritual thought in Lot's mind of, hey, if I go down here and if I sit with the world, the opportunity that I have. You know, one of the biggest things that's hurt churches all around America is sports. You know, several years ago, that there were a group of folks who I remember growing up as a kid. Whether it was Little League or Cub Scouts or anything else, it didn't happen on Sunday. Sunday was reserved for the day of the Lord. They didn't have activities on Sunday. And actually, I remember as a boy, you'd go into the grocery store and you couldn't get liquor on Sunday. And there was a lot of things that you could not do on Sunday. There were even restaurants that were closed. But again, what happened is, and what I was getting to is the sports. You know, there was a group of Christians who thought, well, you know, I'm gonna skip church and I'm gonna do this sports activity and I'm gonna get a good opportunity to witness people. You know, that was the devil's deception. Because the best testimony that you can be to anyone in the world is be where God expects born-again Christians to be, and that is in the house of the Lord, preparing and learning to witness. And so Lot, he found himself sitting at the gate. Are you sitting at the gate? Are you sitting at the gate of the world today? You may not be in the world. You may be on the outskirts of the world. You just may be looking at it. Are you at the gate? You see, Lot failed to consider the consequences of what it would cost him of his actions. And then Lot, he failed to see the shame of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, once we look and we watch the things of the world and we let the world entertain us and we let the dainties of the world have its way in our lives, what we do is we fail to see the effect that the world has on us. And we know how Lot wound up. The Word of God tells us that when God decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for homosexuality and for the perverseness that was going on in that town and the wickedness, you know what Lot could not see any longer? The shame of it all. And when we let it in our lives and we make it a daily part of our lives, whether we watch it on television or we participate on the weekends, when we let that into our lives, what winds up happening to us, we get dull to its danger. We get dull to its things and how it's going to affect it. And Lot failed to see that, and he failed to see the shame. And even when he knew that God was going to destroy the city, he had to be carried out by angels of God because he didn't want to give up what the world was giving him. Even though he knew they were perverted, even though that he knew that the sins that they were participating in were wicked, he still had to be taken out. Also, he lost children. He lost grandchildren. And folks, those children and those grandchildren are in hell today because Lot failed to see the shame of their he left Sodom and Gomorrah the poorest man. You know, when he went into Sodom and Gomorrah, he was very wealthy. He was welcomed at the gate because he had something. He was somebody. But when he left everything, lost everything, and left Sodom and Gomorrah, and even lost his wife. Folks, when you dabble in the world, it will eventually cost you everything. Amen. You may have your sin under control right now, but I guarantee you, if you keep it up, if you stay there, if you keep participating in that sin, it will drag you down, it will tear you up, and it will destroy you. I challenge you this morning, consider the shame of Sodom and Gomorrah. Why can our world today look at the wickedness that's going on, and why can Christians in churches like ours all around America can look at the sin and the wickedness that's going on and not be willing to stand up and say, hey, that's enough. We're not going to do this anymore. We don't want this here. We don't want our children taught that. We don't want that in school. You know, we've got used to the shame of it. Then the second person that failed to consider his circumstance was a man called Solomon. Or I'm sorry, Samuel. I'll get it right here in a minute if I look at my notes and put my glasses on. Samson, there we are. Samson was a man who failed to consider the scissors of Delilah. Think about it. Samson was a man born, and God set him aside for a purpose, and God wanted great things in his life. And Samson, in his death, killed more Philistines than he did while he was alive. But you know what Samson failed to consider? Samson failed to consider the source of his strength. You see, Samuel took what he had for granted. He took the strength that God had given him and the strength that God wanted him to use for the honor and glory of God and to be able to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. And God wanted some great things out of him. But you know what Samuel got to doing? He got to playing around in some areas where he shouldn't be. And furthermore, he was disobedient to his parents. And he got all tangled up with Delilah. He got all tangled up with a woman of the world who was only interested in what she could get out of him and what she could get for betraying him. And again, we look at things of the world and we forget to consider the consequences. And Samuel, he got his hair cut in the devil's barbershop. You know, many times, over and over and over again, when Samson would go down to Delilah and lie with her and be entertained by her, she was out to get his secret. You know what the sinful people of the world are out to do? They're out to destroy you. They're out to cause shame. And time after time, she'd ask Samson the same question: "Where does your strength lie?" And we know how that went. You know, he said, "You bind me with green cords," and that didn't work. And you bind me with a scarlet cord, and over and over and over again, till eventually she wore him down to where he told her where his strength lied. You know something that you need to consider: fooling around and living in the sin of the world, you need to consider, it will wear you down. You are not strong enough. You don't have the ability. You don't have it within you to keep dabbling around in the world and win. It eventually will take over. And eventually, in the devil's barbershop, as Samson laid there and she caressed him, she made him feel really good, and she found out his secret, she chopped off his hair. And as he stood up to defend himself, the Bible tells us he didn't even realize that the spirit had departed from him. You know what happens when you play around with the world? You know what happens when you stay in the world? You get so desensitized. You tell things that you shouldn't tell. You reveal your secrets, and in the end, the world sets out to destroy you. And I promise you, folks, just like Samson, you need to consider this. You will not see it coming. You do not control sin. We do not control sin. Sin controls us. I had a friend who was very considerate in his drinking habit. For years, after work, he'd get one quart of beer, and he'd drink that one quart of beer. And for years and years and years, that one quart of beer was all he drank. And if they were short at home, he made sure that he did without so his family wouldn't. But you know, it wasn't long, and that one quart wound up to be two quarts. It wasn't too much longer after that, it would be three quarts and a stop at the bar along the way. And what my friend wound up doing was losing his driver's license, losing his family, losing everything that he had. And you know what Don didn't see? Don didn't even see it coming. He didn't see it coming. He didn't realize that it was coming, and one day it was there. Samson, he didn't realize what he didn't consider. And Delilah cut his hair, and he wound up in the grist mill, blind, grinding wheat, and the world mocking him over and over and over and over again. And then he became other men's, he became something that God didn't intend for him to be, and finally committing suicide. And in that, killing more Philistines. You see, the sad thing is the goal of God was accomplished, but not the way God intended for it to be. God didn't intend for Solomon to wind up in the temple underneath that God and standing in between those two pillars and praying and asking God to give him strength to knock that down and that God fall down and crush and kill all of them in that Colosseum. You see, that wasn't, God used it, but that wasn't the plan God had for Samson. And folks, God has plans for us, and we need to make sure that we consider the consequences and consider what happens when we fool around and lie around with the world. It will deceive us, and you will not see it coming. Another man that failed to consider the sword of judgment, and that was David. David, the Bible says, a man after God's own heart. God had promised, David was promised a great throne. Then David had the sword of judgment to fall on his house. You see, David was a young man God chose, a young shepherd boy, to do the will of the Lord. And we study this in the book of Acts chapter 13, where it says that David was a man after God's own heart. But you see, David made a severe mistake. He failed to consider his actions. You know what David's problem was? When he sinned, he was not where he should have been. He should have been out on the battlefield. He should have been fighting. He should have been standing up for the cause of Israel. But you know what he did? He wimped out, got tired, went home, and you know what the devil had waiting for him? The devil had waiting for him temptation. You know, if David had stayed on the battlefield where David should have been, he would have never been on the rooftop. He would have never seen Bathsheba. You know what happens to most of us here? We don't consider where we should be. We fail to consider where we should be. We should be on the battlefield. We should be out there fighting. We should be out there working and doing great things for the Lord Jesus Christ. But instead, what we do is we retire, we retreat, and we give up. And we draw back. And you know what happens? We find ourselves in places that we should not be. We find ourselves doing things that we would not have done to cover up things that we did. And we know the story of David very well. He went out on the rooftop there and he saw Bathsheba there bathing on the roof. And he called her into him and he committed adultery with her. He tried to cover it up when she was pregnant. And Bathsheba's honorable husband, who he pulled off the battlefield, would not go into his wife and he would not suffer. And even carrying, when you think about the direction and everything that David did in order to cover up the sin that he had done, even to the murdering of Uriah the Hittite. Think about it. You say, well, that's David. These things won't happen to me. I've got my circumstance under control. Don't you believe that? And if you believe that, you're heading for a fall. You're heading for bad direction. What we need to be as Christians is we need to be on the battlefield. We need to be out there doing the things of God. We need to be out there witnessing. We need to be testifying. We need to be working for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're not, we're going to find ourselves someplace where we shouldn't be, and we're going to wind up someplace we don't want to be. And you see, David didn't think about what the consequences of his action would be. Yes, the Bible says in Acts chapter 13 that he was a man after God's own heart. He repented of his sin. He repented of his action. But when you study out his life, the sword of judgment continued on in his house. He spent more time running from his own sons that sought to kill him and take his throne. He suffered through a son raping a daughter. He suffered the loss of the child of help me out. Bathsheba. There we are. And so he suffered through all those things and continued a life of judgment. You know, sometimes there's things that we get involved in even after we repent from it, and we ask God to forgive us, the judgment and the consequences are still carrying on. They're still there. There's things that happen and things that continue. We get forgiveness, but sometimes the consequences are very difficult to deal with. The consequences will cost you more. So I encourage you, where you're at in your life, if you're not on the battlefield, if you're not serving, if you're sitting back just watching other people do the things of the Lord, I encourage you to get out, get up, get involved. Stop just being a pew warmer and get busy about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you don't, you're going to wind up in a place where you don't want to be. You're going to wind up doing some things that you want to be. And you're going to wind up with the sword of judgment in your home. Because the Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And Christians, if you sow bad seed, you will reap bad seed. You say, "Well, I thought God would forgive me." Yes, He will. But you know, that crop still comes up. That crop, comes to fruition. And so I challenge you, consider the sword of judgment in your life and in the area and the direction that you're going. Another person that we look at here in the Word of God is Peter. Simon Peter. Simon Peter failed to consider the tears that he would shed by denying the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Peter was a man who was very vocal. Sometimes he'd open mouth and insert foot. Have y'all ever been there? Peter, when it was asked the question, when the Lord Jesus Christ asked them the question of who he was, he confessed that he was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said that upon this rock, I will build my church. And what he was talking about is, he was talking about himself and the faith that Peter had. And he said, "Upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." How did Peter get to the place where he denied Christ? He was very bold. He was very outspoken. He had the right answer. How did Peter get to where he was? Well, after cutting off the ear of the servant of the high priest, and when Jesus was arrested and everybody running, what Peter did is, the Bible says that he followed afar off. You see, Peter followed the Lord Jesus Christ to the judgment hall. but he followed afar off. He stayed far enough out in the distance, hoping that nobody would notice, hoping that nobody would recognize him, hoping that no one would see him. Folks, the devil will always reveal you amongst the people of the world. You cannot hide, no matter how sinful you think you get or how disguised you think you are. The world knows. The devil will reveal you. And as Peter followed afar off, and he was out on the porch, and somebody come by and questioned him, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he left from there and went out a little bit further, and he got around the world's fire, the place where it was comfortable and warm. How did he get to the fire? Because he followed afar off. You see, it happens gradually. The devil doesn't spring it all on you at one time. What he does is he gives it to you little by little. And hey, who could blame Peter? He was out there. None of the other disciples is recorded that they followed. Who could blame Peter? Cold. There was a fire. He went and warmed himself up. Well, you see, Peter was someplace where he shouldn't have been. He was hanging around a group of people that he shouldn't be hanging around. Folks, I want to encourage you to consider who you're hanging with and who your buddies are. And who you're hanging with and who your buddies are, if they're encouraging you to go against God's word, if they're encouraging you to take a little bit of sip of alcohol or to participate in a sin that is wrong, you need to get new buddies. Amen. You need to get people that will influence you in the right direction, because, you know, it may be a little bit, it may be small and harmless at first. But what will wind up happening is you'll do the same thing that Peter did, and you'll deny Christ. And then you'll go and you'll find the world's fire, and you go warm yourself up, but you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to follow you there too. And he's going to make sure the people around that fire know exactly who you are. Because the only thing that the devil is interested in doing in your life is destroying it. He knows he can't have your soul if you're saved and born again. But what he wants to do is he wants to make you look like a sinner. He wants to make you look like you're lost. He wants you to live like you're lost. And so Peter denied. And Peter wind up running off and crying and shedding bitter tears. You know, there's some things in Peter's life that he could not go back and fix that night. There were some things that he wept and cried, but he just didn't consider where he was and what he was doing. The last person we'll look at here this evening is Judas. Judas failed to consider the sting of silver. You know, Judas Iscariot, he was the treasurer of the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples. He carried the money around. I suspect he probably was dipping into it and skimming a little bit off the top, because it really upset him when, in his opinion, ointment that was very costly and expensive was wasted on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was even so evil and deceptive. We know how he went to the chief, the high priest, and the Jews, and he bargained to sell the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Judas didn't consider what the consequences of his action would be. You know, I don't think Peter intended for the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified. You know, I think maybe the devil had convinced Judas here that the only thing that would take place in this circumstance is, hey, he'd make a little bit of money, they'd try the Lord Jesus Christ or make a mockery of him, and they would let him go. You know, sometimes we get involved in some things and we sell out our Savior for a few pennies. We sell out our Savior for overtime.
We sell out our Savior for a little bit more wealth. You know, the devil doesn't reveal what his intentions are. Judas, he took that 30 pieces of silver, and he was glad to have it until he realized what it was going to cost. Till he realized that it was going to cost the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know how the Bible tells us that he went back to the chief priests and scribes and Pharisees, and he threw the money down on the floor. He said, "I don't want it. This shouldn't be." Their response was, "That ain't our problem, it's yours." And you know, the truth of the matter is it was his problem. It was his problem. He sold out, threw that money down, went out and committed suicide. And those wonderful self-righteous people didn't, we can't put this money back into the treasury. We can't bring this back into to the temple. So we'll go buy a graveyard and bury Judas out there. Folks, will you consider where you are in your life? The people that we've talked about here this morning. Who are you? Did one of these people describe you? You know, I think if each one of us really looked down deep in our heart and our life, and I did it in preparing this message, I seen a little bit of me in each one of them. And what it caused me to do is it caused me to go back and consider the consequences of what I saw. And it caused me to make some course correction, some direction. So where are you today, church? We are in the last days. The Lord Jesus Christ's return could be today. Where are you? Have you considered the consequences of how you've been living and what it's going to cost you? I'd like to challenge you to do that. Brother Jones, if you'll come, we're going to have an invitation. One of the consequences that you need to consider, if you're here today and you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're not born again, if you were to die in the seat that you're sitting in, would you go to heaven? The Bible says, as is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Once you die, you need to consider the consequences of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because they can't be changed. Once the trumpet of the Lord has sounded, you need to consider the consequences of your action and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Oh, well, I'll have a chance in the tribulation." Well, I hate to inform you, if you're within the hearing of my voice, when the tribulation comes, you won't get saved. You will be deceived as everyone else, and you will take the mark of the beast. You won't be running back here and having a great salvation experience and being Mr. Evangelist or Mrs. Evangelist. What will happen is you'll take the mark of the beast and you'll spend eternity in hell forever. Consider where you are. And if you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I challenge you today during the invitation. Will you come? Will you let us show you how you can be saved? We can show you from the Word of God exactly how you can know Him as your personal Savior. If you won't come in the invitation, I encourage you afterwards, talk to myself, talk to Brother Jones, and there are other folks here that you can talk to, and we'll take time and we'll show you how you can be saved. I encourage you to do that. But church folks and friends and family, where are you, and are you considering where you are? Are you considering the circumstances of the things that's in your life? And I encourage you to do that, because it'll cost you Sin will take you further than you wanted to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will make you pay more than you were willing to pay. That's sin. That's the consequences. There, you know, it isn't going to be good. Can you get forgiveness? Sure. Did Peter get forgiven? Yes. Did David get forgiven? Yes. But the consequences they had to live with. Consider where you are. Let's pray. Father, as we have our invitation, Lord, I pray your will to be done. Lord, I pray that you speak to hearts, and we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Let's stand.